Welcome to Harvest Mission Community Church. You are listening to one of our sermons.
Well, if you have your Bibles, please turn to Mark chapter 1, verse 35 through 39. Knowing that we were going to have some people share, I made the sermon shorter, but you know how it works. A lot of things you plan might not work out, but I'm going to do my best to get you guys out on time as we normally do around 12 o'clock. We'll try our best. But let me just start off today as we start this new series called Margins. I want to ask a question. I'm wondering, when you think about the things that you're going through just throughout the week, it can even be daily, but throughout the week, I'm wondering how stressful it is for some of us. And a lot of times we don't think about that. We just go through life and we feel the stresses of life. We feel the pressures that are coming from different sides. But we don't think about what that does to us in our hearts and our attitudes and maybe even our perspective. So what I wanted to do is just kind of get a feel in this room, kind of like our stress level. All right, so once again, we're going to do a quick Mentimeter, and we're going to have you scan that QR code. And the thing that I like about these Mentimeters, number one, it's anonymous. Number two, you can also realize you're not alone. There are other people who are in the room, might be going through the same thing as you are. Number three, I think it also gives us awareness that there are certain things that we have to be more aware about so that it can make us more compassionate, more loving, and being able to minister to one another. So hopefully all of us have scanned the QR code. We're going to do this Mentimeter, and I'm going to ask you a series of questions, and maybe not so much questions, but a scenario. And what I need you to do is then to rank or to give a number of how stressful that situation is. So for instance, it's very low stress. You're like a chill. It doesn't matter. The house is burning, everything. I'm chill. That's you can put a number one all the way to number 10 because you weren't able to find your little favorite candy and you're stressing out and life is about to collapse, all right? If that's you, then you could put a 10. So one being less stress, you're not really stressed, and 10 being you're really stressing out. Are you ready? Okay, all of us have signed in, and I'm gonna give you a series of questions or scenarios, as I mentioned, and we'll do five of them. So here we go. The first one is this. When you are unhappy at your job or maybe your school major, how stressed are you? All right, so wow. Okay, we're going to the sevens, back to the six. Okay. I mean, if you think about it, if you're in a job that you don't like, it could be stressful because you have to think about going to work every single time. You think about the people you have to interact with. Even school majors, I realize in Asia, it's one of the hardest things to do. In America or some of these Western schools, if you don't like your major, you could change it after one semester. You could change it even after a year or 2 years. Usually after 2 years, we tell people just stick with your major because you're going to be in college for a very long time. But you can't do that. I was thinking about this. And to those of you who are students, and those of us who are high school students, sorry I wasn't able to fully recognize you guys during the graduation service. I just focused on the college students, but we have some high school students who are graduating. So let's give them a hand. Amen? high school students, we love you guys. But think about it. What 17-year-old or 18-year-old will know what they want to do for the rest of their lives? To me, that is ridiculous. So a lot of people, what they do is they look at the list, which makes the most money. And then they go through the line, oh, biotech, you know, computer, whatever. But they don't really like it. They're not really sure. But that's what they go into. And guess what? As soon as you go into your first semester of classes, you hate it. What are you going to do? You're not doing well in your first exam. And you start flunking out or doing poorly. But here's the irony. And this is my observation with the school system here in Asia. Here's the irony. In order for you to switch majors, you have to have a very high GPA. But the reason why they don't like that major is because they have a very low GPA, because they don't like it. So you realize it's a fixed system. You're stuck for eternity. You're like stuck in this loop. You hate this major. You're not doing well. That's why you don't want to study. You have no passion to study. But then if you don't do well, you can't transfer out of it. So guess what? You end up staying in a major you do not like. So the final number is 6.4. So sort of stressful, but not too bad, but still stressful. Here's the second one. When you have a lot to do and deadlines to meet, how stressed are you? Okay, now we're talking. There's a little bit more stress when it comes to that. So lots to do, deadlines, pressure that causes us then to be stressed. Here's the third one. When you think about your future, are you chill? Yeah, I'm not going to do anything with my life. Praise God. You know, or are you like, what am I going to do? Where am I going to live? What job am I going to take? How stressed are you when you think about your future? Come on. Is there only 6.4? I should have said, when you think about who you're going to marry, that's what I should have put. All right, 6.3. And then the fourth one is this. When you go through a transition in life, any kind of transition, it could even be a death of a loved one, or maybe some of you are now moving into the working life, like transitions in life, how stressed are you? We're looking at 7. Right. And here's the last one. When there is a relational conflict, there's somebody that you're not getting along with. We have a lot of relational people in our church, don't we? As you know, this is very stressful. Sometimes you can't even go to the same gathering because you might see that person there. Sometimes you're wondering what they're thinking about you. Or sometimes there's that anger towards that person. I think this is the reason why it is absolutely critical to create margins in our lives. Because when you create margins, you have the ability to pull away and then gain the perspective that we need as we are in the presence of God. And through that, we're able to deal with some of the emotional things that we're feeling. We're able to think more properly or biblically with the things that we're going through. And in many ways, our souls get recharged. But I think this is so hard to do, especially in Hong Kong. Why? Because we live in a city and our lives are so busy. And I know many of you are serving, you're doing many different things, and it's very difficult to create the margins that we need to be in the presence of God. In fact, some of us, what we will do is, even though we do have some margin or time, we will use it to distract ourselves. That's why some of us will get on YouTube and Netflix and social media just to numb ourselves or distract ourselves from the stresses that we are feeling. So as we start this 5-part series, sermon series called Margins, I really want us to help us to see that this is going to lead us to the summer. We're going to close out this season, and then it's going to start off our summer season, and we're excited about that. As you saw, the Journey of Wonder, I think it's going to be phenomenal. It's going to impact your life. We did something called 50 Days of Freedom several years back, and many great testimonies of some of your lives being set free from different bondages, different things that Satan has had a stronghold in your life. I believe it's going to be in the same way, that this Journey of Wonder is going to help us to understand the gospel more. It is going to help us to love Jesus more. It's going to help us to understand more of his heart, and we will be filled and with wonder, and we will marvel, and we will be amazed at the greatness of who God is. So we want to be able to use this series to create the margins in our lives so that we can be ready for the summer. And so what are the margins? What are margins? And why is it important to create margins in our lives? And I want to kind of look at it as simply creating room in your life so that you can respond to God whenever he calls you to do something. And so as we talk about margins throughout this series, I want you to think about that. That it's creating room in our lives so that when God calls us to respond, that we will be able to respond in obedience to him. Let me give you some definitions through the dictionary of what margins is all about. The Merriam Webster Dictionary writes this, a couple definitions of it. A spare amount or measure or degree allowed or given for contingencies or special situations. Another way that explains it is a bare minimum below which or an extreme limit beyond which something becomes impossible or is no longer desirable. The third aspect of this definition is that it's a state or area or state or condition excluded from or existing outside the mainstream. So what they're trying to explain is simply margins is anything that you create or you have that is ready for contingency plan, because life is full of stressful things. Life is full of things that are unpredictable. And so it is something that is within the limits that we are able to do, because if it's beyond it, there's nothing we can do. The Collins English Dictionary defines this idea of margins more in a descriptive way. And listen to what it says. It says this: if there is a margin for something in a situation, here there is some freedom to choose what to do or decide how to do it. And that's what I want us to focus on, is that when you create margins in your life, you have the freedom. You're not bound, but you have the freedom then to choose what you will do or how you will decide on doing something. That's why I believe it is that space in between your responsibilities, things that you have to do, and also your limitations. We all have limitations. So this space right here is the margin in which then you could then respond to God if he calls you to do something. If we are overwhelmed or we have no margin or space in our lives, then we will not be able to obey and choose the things that God has called us. In fact, and this is what I want to challenge us with, if you do not have margins, you will always choose what is selfish and self-centered. Always. Because it's self-preserving. That's why we have to make sure that we have the margins so that when God speaks to us, that we will respond to him. So the sermon series, it's going to be broken into five parts, as I mentioned. And the first part, we're going to talk about creating margins for God. This is talking about how we can connect back with God. The second part, I'm going to talk about creating margins with our finances. Like, there's so many different ministries that we can support. There's so many different things that God is doing around the world. There are needs within our church. There are people that we can bless. But if you don't have margins, even with your finances, you can't do that. And you're stuck. If God says to serve that person or to serve that ministry, you won't be able to because you don't have the margins. The third part I'm going to talk about is creating margins with our time. Time is gold. Time is something that we all wish we had more of. And so whenever there's opportunity to get involved, because of your lack of margin, many of you miss out great opportunities. I don't know how many of you, because you think you're so busy with your life that you have no margin to get involved in things. And then you look at the pictures afterwards and you're like, oh, I wish I was involved in that. But you can't, because with your time, it is being filled with so many different things. So we're going to talk about creating margins with our time. How do you do that? Still being faithful to what we're called to do, but creating the margins with our time so that we can respond to God. And the last thing we're going to, or the fourth thing we're going to talk about, is creating margins with our relationships. That God has created us for relationships. And if we don't have the margins to build good relationships, good friendships, then we're not going to be able to live out the calling that God has given us. And the last part, the fifth part I'm going to talk about, is creating margins for creativity. Man, creativity is, I believe, is a reflection of our greatest creator, which is God. And we want to be creative in the things that we do, the ministry that we do, and creative in the things that we approach situations. And the only way you're going to be able to do that is you create the time and the space to be able to hear from God and let him inspire you to do things that will impact this coming generation. So I'm really excited about this series to talk about margins, and may it help us to discipline our lives, to be focused on the mission that God has given us so that we can live for his glory. So let me give us the one thing. The one thing that I want to talk about today is simply this. The stresses of life can affect our attitude, so we must recharge in solitude. Like, think about the stresses. It changes the way we look at things, our attitude, it affects us. And you go into the next meeting and, you know, because of what happened here, you go to the next meeting and you're a mess. And sometimes you can do other things with a bad attitude. And that's why what I'm going to try to teach today is creating margins for God to come in, that means that we have to spend some time in solitude. So with the stresses of life, how it can affect our attitude, that's why we have to recharge in solitude. There are two things I'm going to highlight for us in this passage. It's a short passage, familiar passage, but I think it's going to help us to understand why it is necessary to create the sense of solitude so it can affect positively in our attitude. The first thing is this: we must reconnect with God's presence. We must reconnect with God's presence. Let me just give a caveat here. God's presence is everywhere. It is in this room. It is in your bedroom. It is in your classroom. It is at your workplace. It is even in the toilet, all right? God's presence is everywhere, even though sometimes it's very dirty, but it is everywhere. God is everywhere. He is omnipresent. So it doesn't mean that you have to go to a specific place to feel his presence. God can be experienced anywhere, even in the train, even in the buses. He is everywhere. But the thing that I want you to understand is that even though you could connect him with anywhere, it is something powerful when you're able to pull away and have a dedicated time, a dedicated place to be able to experience him in more of a powerful way. And that's what I want to highlight for us as we talk about how we must reconnect with God's presence. Let's go ahead and read verse 35 through 37. Hopefully you've turned to the Mark passage, chapter 1. And in verse 35 through 37, this is what the Word of God says. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place. And there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him and found out and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." Let me just pause here and let's look at this as we're talking about reconnecting with God's presence. In order to feel the force of this passage, we have to understand what came before this. If you look earlier in this chapter, you will notice that Jesus first calls his disciples. And in verse 21 through 34, and then, or excuse me, earlier, but then in verse 21 through 34, we see here in that section that Jesus ends up healing a lot of people and casting out a lot of demons. So look at Mark chapter 1, verse 32 to 34. I'm going to read it for us. And in the yellow section, I want you to say it out loud and say it together. It says this: that evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons. So think about it. Every single person in that town who were sick or demon-possessed, or some people thought he was demon-possessed, it didn't matter. Every single person who was ill, diseased, sick, and demon-possessed, they brought all of them to Jesus so that he could do a miracle. Look at what it says in verse 33. And the whole city was gathered. Can you imagine the whole city gathered together? I mean, probably slowly the name of Jesus and the things that he's doing is slowly getting around. But they all gathered together at the door. And what did he do? And he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. Then you will notice in verse 35, so that's what's happening before. He's doing all this healing and demon casting out of demons. And so you could imagine the toll it's taking on him. And then in verse 35, we see that Jesus gets up very early in the morning. Now, Mark adds the phrase, while it is still dark. And the reason why is because he wanted the reader to understand that it was very early in the morning. This might have been the only time that Jesus was able to do that reconnecting with God, because all the other times there were high demands on him. There were people who were seeking out after him, and rightly so, because he was the healer. He was the one who had authority over Satan and the demons. But you will notice that before people got up in the morning, and before the sun rose, and that's when they would start going to work, we see here he says very early in the morning, while it's still dark, which means it was probably around 4 o'clock in the morning or 5 o'clock in the morning, where barely the sun is not out yet. And it says here that Jesus departed and went to a desolate place. Bottom line is that he wanted to be alone, in solitude. And the last phrase in verse 35 tells us why he did it. The reason why he got up early in the morning, away from all the demands that are placed on him, and he went to this desolate place where no one could maybe find him, is because it says in verse 35, and it was there he prayed. Now, in the original language, it says he continued in prayer. So it wasn't that this was the only place that he prayed, but he was continuing his life of prayer and a life of dependence. So here are several things you have to keep in mind as we talk about prayer. The first thing is this. We have to keep in mind that there was a routine for Jesus. There are many times when Jesus spends time alone in prayer. You'll see this all throughout Scripture. Jesus understood that there is nothing that he can do or nothing that he could accomplish without the help of the Father. And that is why he made it a priority and a routine that he does regularly to spend time with God. Here are some other passages, and you can read the yellow section with me. It says this in Luke chapter 5, verse 16, in the NIV, it says this, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. So we see this lonely place by himself in solitude, and he prayed. Luke chapter 6, verse 12, in the ESV, it says this, in these days he went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to God. So not only would he get up early in the morning, but there are times where he would slip away late at night when people are sleeping. He will go to a mountain or a hill or some other place, and what would he do? He would pray, and not just pray, but it says here, all night. Praise God for all night prayers. So all night. Matthew chapter 14, verse 23 says this, when the crowd dispersed, he climbed a mountain so that he could be by himself and pray. He stayed there alone, late into the night. So once again, getting away, pulling away in solitude, being alone to spend time and commune with the Father. And that's what he did. He prayed. And lastly, Mark chapter 6, verse 46 in the New American Standard Bible says this, after bidding them farewell, he left for the mountains to pray. Getting away, being alone, in solitude, so that he could pray, to talk with God the Father, and to have fellowship, and to commune with him. Jesus is constantly going off into solitude and in prayer. And as I was thinking about this, this is the amazing part. This is the Son of God. Like, in many ways, he doesn't need prayer. He could just go Shazam, and things can happen. He could just speak a word, and the demon will flee. But why is it that he, the Son of God, is actually practicing this prayer? As you know, he was not only God himself who came into this world, but he came in the form of a man, as a human being, but yet without sin. That's what makes him different than all of us as humans. But he's able to feel, he's able to think, he's able to experience betrayal. He has gone through a lot, but yet without sin. And so think about this. A Son of God comes into this world, and he wants to teach not only the disciples, but he knew for himself that apart from God, there's nothing that he can do. He wanted uninterrupted time with his Heavenly Father because that was a time where he could reconnect. How about us this morning? Do you create the margins to spend time with Jesus? What do you do during your free time? I've yet to meet somebody who is that busy that they don't even have 10 minutes to spend time with God. It's just that we choose to do other things. As some of you know, we have this SOAP Bible application that we really are trying to promote so that you can use it to help you to grow in your walk with God. I don't know how long it takes you to do a SOAP, but everyone differs depending on how you do it or how committed you are to looking deep into the Word. So sometimes it could take 15 minutes. Sometimes it can take 30 minutes. But there is a dedicated time where you're spending time in God's Word. And so every single time I'm in a group chat or accountability with people, or I'm mentoring some people, and I'm challenging them to read the Word. And I understand we all get busy. We sometimes forget. There are other things that happen that we're not expecting. So missing a day or two, it's understandable. But I have been in groups where sometimes I'm like, I haven't heard from this guy for a long time. And then I'm scrolling and I realize the last time they did it was like 2 weeks ago. So I'm thinking, what have you been doing the last 2 weeks that is so busy that you don't even have time, even 15 minutes, if not 10 minutes, just to read the Word and to meditate on it and write out some of the things that God is speaking to you about? Like I said, if you're busy, like literally every single second of your life is taken by something you have to do, then not only do you need to listen to this message, but talk to me. Let me scrutinize your life. I've met some busy people. I mean, they're like globetrotting all over the world, doing all this stuff. They're busy. But even though they're busy, they have airplane time. Well, Pastor, they're sleeping. Well, you could sleep maybe 15 minutes less to read the Word. I'm sharing this not to condemn you or to make you feel guilty, but I'm trying to bring awareness to your heart. It's not that you're too busy. It's just that we don't care. We don't think that it's very important. Or if we do think that it's important, we don't believe that's going to change our lives. But you do have time to scroll. Okay, don't raise your hand because you're going to embarrass yourself. I'll just raise my hand. How many of us have decided you're going to scroll for just like 10 minutes? And the next thing you know, it's 1 hour or 2 hours. Don't raise your hand, but you know that feeling. I've been there. Oh, I'm going to take a break from my sermon. Oh, my brain is like fried. I just look through some of my social media. Next thing I know, it's an hour later. I'm like, Lord Jesus, take me home. It's so easy to waste that 1 hour. And what did it make you feel? Loving Jesus? No, you get jealous. You hate that person. Why do they get to do all this stuff? You're discontent. I mean, all these emotions that are not really going to help you to praise God. I don't want to even go here, but you know what I'm talking about. I'm going to just watch this new series. It just has 10 episodes. That's all, 10. There are some that have 7 seasons with 16. So this is going to be no problem, just 10 episodes. It's a limited show. So you're taking a break, which is great. So what do? You watch the first episode. And they know what they're doing. I'm going to kill. Huh? Did he kill her or did he not? What is going on? So what do? It says, and they also are very smart. Next episode, it's just kind of like a bar that goes, eh. If you do nothing, because you're trying to pray and discern, should I watch it or not? If you do nothing, it will go on to the next episode. Which, by the way, you should turn that function off so you have some time to pause and think about Jesus. But think about this. What turned into a 45-minute or 58-minute show or one-hour show that you were just going to watch one episode, you end up watching 5 or 6 episodes. Where did the 5, 6 hours go? Well, to this, to your screen. What I'm trying to say is this. Do not use the excuse that you're too busy. It is better to be honest and say, you know what, I just don't care. I have the time. I know I can make the time, even if it's 15 minutes, but I just do not care. I don't see how important it is. I don't see how connecting with God can really help me in my walk with God. I would say, if you say that, then I would be like, you're honest, you're being truthful, and man, I'll pray for you. But when I hear things like, I'm so busy, I'm like, you're not creating any margin in your life. You are going to fall. You are going to completely go astray. Here's Jesus, the Son of God, who even realized that he needed time to commune with the Father. Here's another thing I want you to understand. Not only was a routine for Jesus, but there was a readiness for ministry. We have to keep in mind that before and after Jesus engages in ministry, he takes the time to pray. So before he did ministry, He will get away and he will pray. After the ministry, as people are clamoring over him, he will then pull away in a mountain and he will pray. So if you think about this, this is how he did ministry. Before he engaged with the people, he would pray. After he engaged with the people, as he prayed for them, healed them, and did all these things, he will then retract or move away to a solitary place, and then he will pray. Now, the reason why I think we need to understand this, and the reason why I think it's powerful, is because we cannot do anything without him. Can I get a good amen to that? There's nothing that we can do. I know somehow some of us really want to believe I can do it without Jesus, but you really can't. How do you know, Pastor? Well, then I will say, well, because it's in the Bible. Well, let's look at John chapter 15, verse 4 and 5. What a beautiful verse. You could use it to counsel people, help other people. What does it say? It says, abide in me. This is Jesus speaking, and he's speaking to the people. Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. You can do nothing. You think you're doing it, but then after a while, that fruit is not going to last. You could do nothing. I love how the Message translation translates verse 5. I'm going to read it for you. It says this, I am the vine, you are the branches. When you're joined with me and I with you, read this with me, the relation intimate and organic, the harvest is sure to be abundant. Separated, you cannot produce a thing. So abiding is really this relational component of intimacy and something that is organic, something that flows because you are connected to him in all that you do. That's why I love it when some of you are learning as you're serving in the ministry teams. Ministry team, I really believe, is a great way to get discipled and to learn about God's heart for people and even for yourself. Instead of just sitting around and just doing everything for yourself. Listen to me carefully. The reason why the ministry team, I believe it's going to help you even in your discipleship, is before we even serve on a Sunday or any of the events that we have, the different teams gather together to pray. And we built this culture in our church because you cannot try to do anything on your own. You can, physically you can, but there will not be lasting fruit. And so that's why when some of these teams come together, because some of them come early to set up everything and to get things ready, when they come, after they do everything, they come together to pray. Because what they're doing is, it's not just a formality, oh, we got to pray. But what we're saying is, God, everything we have done in human hands, we have done. But now we need to have your Holy Spirit come and fill us and use us for your glory. And that's why we come together to pray. That's why I love it when you guys come together to pray. Even some of you say after, do some evaluation, and then you pray and asking God, giving thanks that you had the opportunity to serve and say, Lord, help us to continue to love you and serve you in the things that we do. Do you do that even in life group? That would be so awesome if we could see a group of people coming a little bit early just to pray, Lord, this life group, this small group, we pray that they will experience your love, your community. We cannot do ministry on our own. We have to depend on God. And then in verse 36 through 37, we see Peter and the other disciples were looking for Jesus. And then he says, everyone's looking for you. Now, this is the part I want you to understand as I close out this point. Can you imagine what's happening right now? The day before, so before they slept, the day before, it was like a crusade. People were getting healed. Demons were going, ah! And they were like leaving. And can you imagine? Here you are, you're Peter, and you're like, whoa, dude. And then Thomas, like, I don't believe it, but yeah, I see something, you know. And you can just imagine all the disciples who are following him looking at Jesus doing this incredible thing. And I bet you, even though they were tired, they're laying down like, dude, man, do you see Jesus? He just went, and that demon went, ah! You know, you're like, yeah, did you see that other person, that lady who was walking like this? He just touched her and she was like healed. Dude, man, this is so awesome. Guess what? Tomorrow we get to do it again. So you got to try to picture this. They encountered this incredible miracles of God, and then here they are sleeping, and I'm sure they were probably thinking to themselves, we can't wait until tomorrow. It's going to be even greater. It's going to be awesome. And then they wake up like, okay, Jesus, where's Jesus? We need him. If you want demons to go, and do all this stuff, we need Jesus. And so they were on an all-out search trying to find Jesus because he was in a desolate place, far away. Some people translate it as a wilderness. Just think what the disciples were thinking as they were trying to look for Jesus. They were thinking, we can't wait to see this again. Why, where is he? And where did they find him? He's praying. The disciples in this moment did not know the importance of being connected to God, not just yet, but they saw Jesus, the Son of God, connecting with God. How about us? Are you getting away in solitude to pray, to be in his presence? Or are you just running around doing things on your own strength and power? I want to propose to us here that every single one of us, we have time. Yes, some time is a little bit shorter than others, but we have that time we can carve out to be in his presence, reconnect with God. Here's the second and last point I want to mention. We must not only reconnect with God's presence, but we must refocus on God's mission. That we must refocus on God's mission. After the disciples found Jesus in the desolate place and told him, everyone's looking for you, it must have been shocking when he said the next words. Because they were probably expecting, oh, really? People are already here? We're going to see more miracles today? And they're like, yeah, Jesus, come on. And they're ready to go. But what does Jesus say? I think this is the part that we have to pay attention to. In verse 38 through 39, listen to what Jesus says. And he said to them, let us go unto the next towns that I may preach there also. So that's, for that is why I came out. And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. The thing that you have to remember is that by creating margin and space to be in the presence of God, then you will not only get recharged, but it will help you to get refocused on what is important and why you do what you do. If Jesus was here on a popularity contest, if he was here to exalt, just kind of like forget about his dying on the cross mission, it would have been really easy to just chill in Galilee, in that part, in Capernaum. Why? Because already all these people are gathering. We're probably spread and more people are coming. Like, why get rid of the product, you know? This is going well. Let's keep on investing. Let's get more angel investors, more people to invest in this thing. Like, this is going well. But here's Jesus, after being in the presence of God, after this incredible experience of casting out demons and healing the sick, he spends time early in the morning in prayer, and in that time in the presence of God, he then refocuses on his mission. So the disciples are probably not understanding what's going on here. Because Jesus says, let us go on to the next towns that I may preach there also. The last phrase in verse 38 shows us why. It is because of the mission, of his mission. The New King James Version translates verse 38 as this. But he said to them, let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, because for, come on, say this with me, this purpose I have come forth. For this purpose, this mission, to live that life that no one else could live, the perfect life, to go through the suffering and through Calvary and to die on the cross and to then resurrect from the third day. He didn't expound it all here, but he knew what was ahead of him, which was death and then the resurrection. This is the purpose for which I came forth. This is the same language that you will hear in Luke chapter 4, verse 43. It's a sense of urgency and a sense of necessity. So listen to what Jesus said in Luke chapter 4, verse 43. It says this, I must preach the good news. You feel the sense of necessity. I must. It's not like, I'll think about it. It sounds pretty good. He goes, I must or I'm going to die. And literally, I must preach the good news to the kingdom of God, to other towns as well. For I was what? Sent for this purpose. A sense of urgency and necessity for this purpose. There is not only a sense of this urgency and this necessity, but what you will see is that he's continually refocusing on why he's here. He is once again reminding these disciples it is about the kingdom of God. We have to keep in mind that we cannot fulfill our purpose, our mission in life without God. He needs to anoint us. He needs to fill us. That's why when we create margin to spend time with God, not only do we reconnect with him, the God Almighty, but we are able to then, as we spend time with God, understand our purpose and mission. Let me just say this to you. There are many things that we have committed to. And we know this from the past and currently right now. If you've ever been in a situation, you're sitting there and you're thinking to yourself, why am I doing this? Even though 4 months ago or even a year ago, God spoke to you so clearly that he wants you, let's just say, stay in Hong Kong and to get more involved. Not just for a job, but because of the church and because of what he's doing. Like there are times when you feel so clear in the purpose and mission because it might have been after ODF, which is the One Desire Fast. It might have been after a retreat. It might have been just in your own personal time with God. He speaks to you. And here you are not connecting with God. And what begins to happen is you begin to lose your focus. So whatever blessings, whatever he spoke to you about months ago, years ago, is so easy to forget. And the reason why we forget is because we're not creating the margin to be in solitude and spend time with God. That's why I've seen so many people quit halfway. Now, if that's you, I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. Well, kind of. I'm trying to convict you because some of you quit halfway. What happened to you being convicted by God to do that? What I would say then is you need to at least be humble and say, you know what, Pastor Seth, I really did it for myself. When I was praying that 4 months ago, it was really about me. I wasn't aware of it, but it's really about me. Then it makes sense. Then now I understand why you quit. Because if you do it for yourself, there's no other motivation outside of yourself. Then yeah, if you don't want to feel like it, you're tired, you don't want to do it, you'll quit. Think about anything that requires any long-term or longevity of a commitment. It could be anything that you commit to with relationally, even a marriage. It's so easy to quit halfway because you forget that it's a calling and a mission and the purpose that God has given you. And the reason why you forget is because you've lost focus on the very thing that God has called you to do. There are some of you right now that might be excited about things and you're like, yeah, I'm going to commit to this. I'm going to try to do this. Because you might be growing in your relationship with God. But just wait until several months or even throughout the summer. If some of you just are not growing because you're not creating the margin to stay connected to God, that conviction, whatever conviction it is, it could slowly dissipate. That's why creating the margins not only helps us to reconnect, but helps you to refocus on why God is calling you to do what you're doing. Man, I feel this every single day. There are times when I just sit in my chair on a desk in the office or in my home or in a cafe and I'm thinking, why am I doing this? The amount of hours that I spend on a sermon, do they even remember? I even try to rhyme it, but they're not rappers. They're not rappers, so you know they don't even remember it. I try to do alliteration so it'll be easier to remember. They don't even remember it. Why am I doing this? There are times when I'm in a plane, I'm thinking, why am I doing this? Like, I think I'm at an age or a stage in my life where I'm going to have to wear compression socks because I'm getting old. So I'm like, oh, just sitting there in the plane for hours and hours. And I'm living off a suitcase for, you know, a period of time. I'm like, why am I doing this? There's times where I'm sitting across somebody and I get these deja vu moments. Like, didn't we talk about this last week or 2 weeks before? Oh, you're struggling with the same thing over and over and over again. And I'm like, why am I doing this? And it's so easy to lose your heart and your focus. So that's why when you look at, what's my appointment? Oh, I have to meet that person again. Lord, have mercy. Help me, Lord. Oh, there's another trip I got to go. Oh, I don't want to travel anymore. I'm all traveled out. I just recently experienced this because in the next four some weeks, I'm going to be traveling to five different countries. And this is for Arise Asia. And sometimes I'm like, I don't want to arise anymore. I want to just lay down. Forget about Asia. Just let me lay down in Hong Kong. But those are the times when I have to remind myself, be in the presence of God and pray and ask Him, Lord, why am I doing this? It's because I want to see a young generation of people who give their lives to mission in every single country in Asia and throughout the world. That when I get up in the morning and I'm in His presence and I think about all the appointments that I have, it's because, God, You have sovereignly placed them in my life. It's sometimes it's not that I choose, but it's just they're sovereignly in my life, and I need to give of myself and give of the things that You want me to deposit into this person's life. And so I won't be able to get that perspective unless I am carving out and making the margin to be in His presence. Because when I'm in His presence, I'm seeing the awesomeness and the greatness of who He is. It also helps me to be still in His presence, that to know that He is God. As Psalm 46 verse 10 says, to be still and to know that I am God. God, You are God. I am not. You are in control. I am not. You are all powerful. I am not. You have all the wisdom in the world and I do not. And to be able to acknowledge that as you carve out that margin to be in the presence of God, that's when I come out of that time with God and I look at everything totally different. It helps me to refocus on why my wife and I, our family, we came to Hong Kong. It helps me to refocus why God opened that door for me and then I said yes in obedience to Him and allowed me to do what I'm doing now. Like, I constantly have to refocus. I constantly have to be in the presence of God. If not, I know what happens to me. I get cynical. I get very bitter. Sometimes I get angry. Sometimes I'm just like, why am I doing this? Sometimes there's a lot of discontentment. But when I'm coming into the presence of God and then when I come out, it totally changes my life. It changes my perspective. It changes the motivation of why I continue to do what I do. My wife realized this when back in the United States, I would take about 4 days of personal retreat. And this was right around August when we're about to start the new season. And I'm telling you, like, what I would normally do in the first 2 days is just sleep. I would like sleep. Because throughout the whole year, I can't remember a time where I just wake up with my eyes open. It's always alarm or my wife, you know, hitting me to get up and turn off the alarm. You know, so like it's those moments where my life was like not only busy, but it was just chaotic, and I wasn't creating the margins. And so I took like 4 days away for personal like retreat, just to spend time with God, to hear from Him, to get a revelation of what we're going to be doing for this coming new season. And then over a period of time, I mean, it helped me, but over a period of time, she just noticed right around April, I started kind of like, the best way I could put it is like acting up. I'll just be like, I just don't care. Bottom line was I was exhausted because even though I went on that personal retreat for 4 days before the whole school year got started, by the time I finished out like 8 months of it, I was just dead. I was exhausted. I was drained because I was serving. I was doing all these things. I was trying to spend time with God, but I just didn't have that dedicated time just to be in His presence where nothing disturbs me, where I don't have to respond to anything. So my wife said, why don't you split up this time? Because you're not in a good place when April comes around. So maybe what you need to do is maybe spend like 2 or 3 days in August and spend another 2-3 days in April when everything's done. And what that did for me was that I'm like, oh, I didn't think about that. And so I took her advice. And so what I did was at the end of the school year season, when I'm just able to just get away and once again, just sleep for the first night. And then the rest of the night, I'm reading, I'm taking walks, I'm trying to hear from God. When I do this kind of personal retreat, I realized something, that not only did I get recharged, I was able to refocus on the very thing that God has called me to do. I'm just wondering if some of us in this room, we need to take some time away. See, the problem with some of us is this. We think that if we could just go to Phuket, if we could just go to that Hanoi or somewhere on the island, if we can go to Okinawa, if we can go to Shenzhen, if we just get that cheap massage, you know, just eat really good food, that somehow I'm going to be recharged. Now, listen. There is nothing wrong with going to any of those places. There's nothing wrong with getting a massage. There is nothing wrong with eating good food. Praise God. Go for it. But here's the problem. Some of you think that those things will recharge you, and guess what? How many of you ever came back from vacation more tired than you actually entered it? We got some believers here, you know, who really understands that. I have. I'm always telling people, oh, I need a vacation from a vacation, you know? Because what happened was, even though I was resting, my physical body was resting, I wasn't resting in my soul. I wasn't taking the time to be filled with His presence. I wasn't taking the time reading the Word. I wasn't taking the time to just enjoy who He is and just praying and fellowshipping with Him and just being still. That's when it hit me that just going away is not going to bring you this recharge and the refocus and the rest. What you need, even if you don't go to some of these places, what we need is that time away to be with God in His presence. Create the margins, the space, so that we can say, you know what? This is very important. I don't want anything to touch this space. I'm going to spend time with God. That's when you're going to experience not only that reconnection with God, but being able to refocus. How about us? I'm wondering, have you forgotten your mission or your purpose while you're here? Just do all the busyness? Have you forgotten why you said yes to serving and doing different things? When was the last time you spent time with God to refocus on your purpose? Let me just say this. I believe this is a glimpse of the gospel. The reason why is that we are living in a chaotic and a hectic world due to sin. Some of us are workaholics because we're trying to prove ourselves or we're trying to find validation. Some of us are so busy doing all these things because we don't want to have to deal with ourselves. It's easier to be busy and not think about it. Some of us don't want to even approach God because of the situation we're in. It is in that situation Jesus Christ came into this world and lived a life that you could not live. He lived it perfectly. He worked as He rested. He fellowshiped with God. But many of us did not have that fellowship with God. That's why He died on the cross, so that you may have eternal life. So that bridge where God is here and you're here, Jesus Christ bridged it. So that now you could have this rest in your soul with Him. But you have to put your trust in Him. You have to put your faith in Him to believe that He died on the cross for my sins and that He rose again from the dead. And now you give your life in serving Him and loving Him. That's why the one thing, once again, is the stresses of life can affect our attitude, so we must recharge in solitude. Let me just give us three things for us to do. The first thing is this. Set aside time to be with Jesus. There is no other way around it. You got to set aside time to be with Jesus. I would definitely say you need to make a commitment of a routine and a readiness, as we talked about. Some of you are morning people. Can I see how many of you are morning people? Oh. I keep on forgetting we deal with a lot of young people here, all right? How many of you are evening people, nighttime? There we go. Bad things happen at night, okay? So watch out. Whether it's the morning or the evening, let's give our best to God. Create the margin to spend time with Him. Let's make zero excuse why we're not reading the Word and why we're not praying. This week, let's make a commitment to set aside time to be with Jesus. Second thing is this. Stop and practice the 4-6-8 breathing technique. How many of you know of this already? Can I see you raise your hands? Okay. Majority, some of us don't because you haven't taken, you know, the Alive class and all this other stuff. But we're going to try to teach you guys along the way. But we discovered through scientific research, as you know, I'm a psych major, or was a psych major, and I'm a study of people. And I love anything military stuff, you know, war and all that, for Jesus. That what they found out was the amygdala, which is that little part in the brain, it triggers the fight or flight. And the problem is that that fight or flight thing gets triggered whenever there's stress. And so whenever you're stressed, you're not able to think straight. You're not able to make good decisions. So in the military, one of the things that they do for snipers and all these other people is that they have to train you to control your breathing so that you could think clearly and sharply and learn how to focus on your target. So what they have done in research is the 4-4-4. It's a four corner where you're breathing in 4 seconds and then holding in 4 seconds and then exhaling for 4 seconds. And you just repeat it. And when you do that, your heart rate goes down. You're able to really begin to focus. And so what we did was we took that concept and we just kind of made it into a Bible thing. Because Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through 8, you know what it says? It says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, present your request to God. And then the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. That's why whatever is true, whatever is lovely, whatever is worthy and praiseworthy, whatever, anything that's good, think of such things. So that's when we said, you know what? So many of us in this generation, you struggle with anxiety. You struggle with depression. You struggle with so many things. And a lot of it is you don't know how to control what you're feeling inside. And so not only should we come into the presence of God, but what we need to do is to pause and then take 4 seconds to breathe in. Then hold it for 6 seconds. And then slowly exhale for 8. You do that several times, and all the chaos around you, all the stress, you're just going to start seeing this peace, because the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Instead of 4-4-4, we just said 4-6-8, because that's what Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through 8 says. You start breathing in that way in the presence of God as you inhale His presence. Hold it, think about who He is, the greatness of who He is. Slowly begin to exhale all the sin, doubt, the stress. Slowly breathe it out. And then you'll get perspective that God is great. He's awesome. And the last thing is scrutinize your schedule. It's similar to set a time to spend with Jesus, but some of us, there's some things in our schedule we might have to say no to. As you know, a yes to this is automatically a no to this. A no to this can also be an automatic yes to something else. No to scrolling, that could be yes to calling up somebody and just checking up and see how they're doing. Scrutinize your schedule. If there's all these gaps of empty time, then maybe some of those times it's the margins that you need to use to be in the presence of God. Maybe some of those margins can be used to love people and to serve. But regardless, let's create these margins. It's within our power and control to do that. and then depend on God to allow him to work in us. And this is where I believe that we're going to see great things happen. I'm so excited for this series as we talk about different components. I believe if you obey the word of God, it's going to transform your life. Let's make time and margin this coming week to be in solitude and in his presence, to hear from him, to read his word, to be strengthened, to be reconnected and refocused on the mission that God has given us for the glory of God. Amen. Come on.
Thank you for listening to the Harvest Mission Community Church podcast. For more information, visit our website at hongkong.hmcc.net.